It's another week. We had another full week of sports, this being the Icy Takes podcast, giving you the best damn football and, yeah, best damn football knowledge that we have because we focus on hockey and baseball. Right, Zach?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, I was just grabbing this beverage right here, and I'm going to give you hints after I open it up to see if you can get the brewing company. Okay. And no, it's not Lucky Streak.
Damn it, that was my first guess.
All right, so there it is. Hold on. All right, first guess. I'm going to be very vague about this on the first one and try to be clever with it. So, first guess, let's see, a direction.
East.
What was that?
Actually, you know what? North. I'm going to say north.
Okay. So, based off north, do you think you have the answer?
I'm going to guess it's something from North Country Brewing.
That is incorrect, but that's a very good guess. So, it's the wrong direction.
Okay.
All right. This part that I'm saying isn't a hint. It is two words, and the second word is another way of ranking.
Another
so direction
of-
and another word of for ranking.
Direction, another word for ranking. Okay.
What do you got? Anything?
I'm thinking. So direction, so that could be, I said north, so it could be south, east, and west, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Can I go east? Will you give me, can I at least get the direction right? And then I could probably go from there.
It's not east. It's not north.
East. South.
Correct, but... south, if you're from the south, you're considered a...
Oh, you're drinking Southern Tier something.
Yes, I am. Southern Tier. God, I was wondering how long I could yank that out, but,
So which one?
I had a variety pack. I had a variety pack. And, this one was the only one that wasn't an IPA, and I did like some of the other IPAs, but this one is called 8 Days a Week. It's a, ooh, as they consider it, infinitely drinkable blonde ale.
Yeah, I actually love 8 days a week. It is, I forget the actual alcohol on that, but the one 4.8. Time I had the, how much?
4.8.
Oh, that sounds about right, because I think the one time I had them, I think I drank like three or four and didn't even realize I had three or four. That's a very good beer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So.
And I'm not the biggest IPA guy, so I mean, that lines up perfectly. With my taste palate, it's a really refreshing beer. Have you by chance had the Pump King yet from Southern Tier? They just dropped it this past weekend, I believe, actually on Thursday of last week.
Well, I thought they've had it in years past, which means yes, I've had it, but not this year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's a yearly pumpkin beer, and it is by far, in my opinion, and it's the right opinion, the best pumpkin beer. But that said, yeah, it released, the 2020 edition came out this past Thursday.
Okay, yeah, I think I saw something like that. Do you think it's too early for pumpkin beer?
So, yes and no. I mean, I've already had a pumpkin beer, so I'm guilty of it. But at the same time, I don't know. I look at how early winter beers get released, how early summer beers get released. I mean, hell, Summer Shandy comes out almost in April now. So, I mean, just because fall seems to be the season where summer's ending, and I feel like more people are bummed out about that, I feel like it has the negative connotation for, oh, here goes pumpkin everything, or like, you know, pumpkin spice everything. Whereas I don't think it's too early if the other seasons would slow their shit down too. Like, and I guess I look at it, I would honestly... I think middle of August is probably the perfect date. I don't think anything August 1st means pumpkin spice or pumpkin anything, but I'd say August 15th is the barometer where I wouldn't care to see it.
So, I mean, I would agree that almost every seasonal beer gets released too early. I think, honestly, if you were to delay each of these seasonal beers 1 month, I think that would be the perfect time. So, what was it? It was August or July 31st at... The pumpkin beer, like you said, came out. Do you think it'd be better if it was August 31st or September 1st that you saw that?
Yeah, I mean, just from a seasonal perspective, yes. But at the same time, does that mean you have to take it away sooner? Like, I mean, if Pumpkin became available August 31st, like you suggest, you know, like I know it's available, you know, some through the at least the beginning of December and at least past Thanksgiving. So if I had to deal with it in a limited window like that, I mean, I get that that's the whole point of it being seasonal, but it's far less time to enjoy it and or stock up on it for a nice summer night when you're drinking a Christmas beer, so or a fall beer in general. So I mean, I don't I'm cool with beer seasons how they are. I feel like if you don't like where the beer, like when the beer is released, then you're just kind of, you're like that for food and like that for other drinks too. And it's just, you're a Debbie Downer, honestly.
That's fair. I wouldn't say like, I'm not against when it was released, but I'm okay with them delaying it. Like I'm still eventually I'm probably going to wait till September to get my fall beer, my seasonal fall beer, because I just think it's too early just for the weather that we have right now to be enjoying that.
No, I agree. You know, going to piggyback off your point, I feel like this might have been the only summer, at least the last summer in recent memories, that like every day has been like 80 or above. Like, you know, I feel like we had our heat waves, especially in late August and like late July, but like this feels like the one is just like completely insurmountable. Like, when will we get like a cool day and even like a little hint of fall? And I'm sure you've seen those memes that are like, okay, it's spring up, it's early summer up, back to winter, like summer two. And then it's like heat wave and death followed by early fall and then summer again. Like, I feel like we have just been like all summer since like late May. Like, you know, I it rained today and I was happy.
Oh yeah, no, I was happy too that it rained. Trust me.
Yeah, so needless to say, like, yeah, I agree with your point that it definitely makes it harder to enjoy a fall and or winter beer at this time. But I feel like this summer has just been absolutely brutal, and we haven't even got a taste of fall yet. And it is now officially August. I believe it's actually August 4th. So, you know, I honestly, I would think within the next 2 weeks, the temperature would start to go down a little bit. But I mean, to be fair, I didn't expect the summer that we had. So,
usually after my birthday, it gets a little bit colder. So,
well, I look forward to your birthday then for pretty much the only reason of it getting colder. Just kidding.
For that reason only.
Yeah. Alone, not because
it's my birthday. So, just a quick recap, because I think we're just bantering at this point while we wait for Jeff. He is joining us, and it's going to be during the recording. So this should be fun whenever it happens. But softball, we won both. It was one of the bottom tier teams, and so the first game we run ruled them.
Not to be confused with Southern tier, right?
What was that?
Not to be confused with Southern tier, right? Because I already had to guess tiers and whatnot.
Exactly.
Okay, just wanted to check. Okay.
So we run ruled in the first game, went 3-for-3, two singles, and I had one double that arguably could have been a triple if both myself and the runner in front of me wasn't already jogging. And this was on the field without the fence, so you got to hit it a mile. And I thought I got enough distance, but there wasn't enough wind carry there. So I still don't have the complete arm strength for it. I do need a little help with the air up above, but that wasn't there. It basically went all the way and stayed in the grass up until the road. But I'm like, yeah, we're winning by like 14. I don't feel like running this out.
I mean, it's beer league softball, so for you to run anything out, you've exceeded my expectations. But that said, I'm very proud of you.
I appreciate that. Thank you. Fielding was good. No errors. I think maybe almost turned a double play because I was like really running to my right and backed up the third baseman who couldn't get the ball, threw it to second, but couldn't get the out at first. It was too late at that point. And there was an outfield assist from the Rover outfielder to me covering third because the third baseman couldn't get to the ball on a sharp hit to his left side. So still aware on those bases. Second game we won 10-3. Bats were falling apart, so hopefully this doesn't transfer into next week when we play one of the top tier teams in the league.
Not to be confused with Southern tier.
Exactly. So,
well, I'm glad you had a solid weekend.
Yeah, so what about you? You got anything to quickly go over?
I actually had an interesting weekend, to be honest with you. We actually had like a date day on Saturday. We ended up going down to the Strip District and like going into a bunch of those unique like shops, like you know, all the Yinzer stores and a couple of the nationality stores. We hit Mancini's and Woolies and whatnot. It was honestly great. Like, you know, we got some like lunch meats and some like different like things that we would never get just like shopping around downtown Greensburg. And then we went to Fathead's for lunch, crushed a couple drinks at 2 o'clock on a Saturday. How are you? And then I went over my buddies to watch the Penguins absolutely melt down.
Oh, there you go. That was a great way to end your evening. Let's be real.
Yeah, that's the reason that I drink. Every day I wonder why I drink, and then I watch the Penguins play game one, and I'm like, oh, you know, I question myself, but I think this sums it up. So,
Not jump into the Penguins, because I kind of want to save that for whenever Jeff gets here. Let's go into some of the other series and just give, like, as much detail as we can. If you want to, we can start off with the ones that I really haven't watched, but have been scoreboard watching and kind of watching over because of some of my bets that have not hit. So how about let's do the first one, which is one of the hub cities in Edmonton between the Chicago Blackhawks and Edmonton Oilers. Zach, this is not the start that I expected from this series. Blackhawks won the first game 6-4. They put up 4 against Mike Smith in the first period. Oilers come back strong and win game 2, 6-3. So we're even 1-1 in the series. Chicago making a statement at first. Were you as surprised as I was with that?
Yeah, and I think Jeff would be happy with that, because I believe he picked Chicago. That said, yeah, I was very surprised. Just not so much, I want to say this the right way, not so much for, like, Chicago, like, scoring. Rephrase that. I'm more surprised Chicago scored all those points as opposed to, like, Edmonton allowing it. And then I realized that Mike Smith was in net, and you never know what Mike Smith you're going to get. So, I mean, it's one of those series where I still think Edmonton wins it, but that was absolutely a statement game by Chicago in the first that I didn't expect. And to go off that point, the Oilers evened it yesterday. And I don't know if you saw one of Connor McDavid's goals. He had a hat trick yesterday after Adrian Dater said he didn't know why he picked McDavid in the Oilers the night before. He has a hat trick last night, including one goal where he just weaved around the whole team, batted the puck out of midair, and just roofed it backhand shelf. It was literally something you do on NHL plus the hand-eye coordination to do it in real time. It was honestly incredible, and I just watched that happen, and knowing that Leon Draisaitl's right behind him, I just think Edmonton's got the firepower if those two are on to take that series.
What was that, the second goal? Like, because I think I saw that one.
Yeah. Where,
starting at mid ice, he just flew. It just, no one even had a chance to catch up to him, and it was just, it looked like a simple shot from the right side of or from the left side of Crawford, because McDavid's going down the right side. It just looks simple, but you look at it closely, it was just so pinpoint, and everything about Connor McDavid on that goal was just unstoppable.
Yeah, he definitely demonstrated it. He just makes it look so easy. He just skates up and down like almost effortlessly, and just the way he puts the puck past people and the way he bats out of midair is truly incredible. So I was not surprising in the least.
Well, speaking of other things that are truly incredible, all that noise you heard in the background was Jeff joining us in the middle. I figured it would be something like I figured it'd be less inconspicuous, but I was wrong. Jeff, you've joined us. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Sorry for the late introduction, but I had a schedule change at work that they moved me to work until 5 o'clock, and of course, it's like the one day we decided to record early. So
that sounds about right.
All right, so Jeff, you haven't missed much. We just talked about our last weekend, and we went over just a little bit with Blackhawks and Oilers. We're basically going to go through each series, saving the Penguins for last, because I think we can go into more detail with that. So let's just ask how your weekend was, and then move on to the next series.
Weekend was a little crazy. Had a minor possible COVID scare, and it turned out to be negative. It was no big deal or anything.
But, there you go.
of all weekends for it to happen, it happened when baseball and hockey are on TV. So, I mean, it worked out okay for me. I didn't have any symptoms or anything. It was someone I knew, so that I had been hanging out with. So it was nothing crazy. So everything came back negative. Everybody's healthy. So that was pretty much my weekend. I watched baseball and hockey all weekend, so it wasn't too bad.
Sounds like a great weekend.
Not bad.
Yeah. So yeah, just, you know, made some snacks. I loaded up on snacks at Target on my way home from work Friday, and then just ate, drank, and watched sports. It was pretty good weekend.
Oh, solid. Absolutely solid.
Yeah.
If you could have like one or two sentences, your opinion of Blackhawks versus Oilers after two games.
Fire wagon hockey. Is that, I mean, that's what comes to mind for me, because it's the only game that's hit the over, I'm pretty sure. Or the only games that have hit the over since we've gotten hockey back. I'd say
the Coyotes and Predators did it on Sunday, but we'll get into that later.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they were the other one. But, yeah, I mean, this series has just so much skill that I think a lot of people might have doubted. I think a lot of people saw McDavid Draisaitl and completely forgot about Taves, Kane, and some of the young stars the Blackhawks have. So it's been an entertaining series. I actually stayed up late to watch their game last night, and then it got kind of out of hand when the Oilers kind of went on a little run there. So, yeah, I mean, that series has probably been entertaining. If you're looking for goal scoring, that's probably the one to be checking in on.
Very true. Very true. I'll agree with you with that. So we're tied up in that series. So next one, let's go into the Panthers and Islanders. And this is probably going to be one of the most boring series. I think we had talked about this. Islanders edge out the first one, 2-1. And then earlier today, I believe that the Islanders won 4-2 against the Panthers. So double the scoring compared to the last game. I expect the Islanders to get the sweep here, boys. I don't think Florida has much to give here. Plus, Sergei Bobrovsky, I got the right team this time. Just for some reason, it gets down to this stretch, whether it's a pre-qualifying round to get into the playoffs or the actual playoffs, and he just doesn't appear to show up. I don't know how the team's playing in front of him. I haven't watched any of this series yet, but I want to say it's not that good. So it's not just Bob's getting the bad rap here. It's probably the entire team.
Wait until they find out that Bobrovsky has 6 more years left on that contract.
Cool. They got to pay him $10 million too.
Each year.
The one thing I'll disagree with you, Dave, I don't know if it's necessarily Bobrovsky. This is actually the one series like I've like gone out of my way to not watch. Like I've watched the Braves over this series because I just don't want to watch this series. I don't want to be sleeping at 4 p.m. on a Saturday. But
you say you'd rather be watching the Braves, your favorite baseball team?
Well, I mean, hockey's back though, bud. Like hockey takes full precedent first, unless it's the playoffs.
Okay.
I mean, I think that makes sense. Yes, Zach.
I just wanted to make sure because you could have picked a worse team with baseball, and I would have agreed with you.
Yeah, true. I'm just saying that, like, you know, I'm watching other teams instead of the Braves, or having the Braves as like a background on my iPad. So that's where I was going with that. But anyways, the one thing I'll disagree with you on the series though is, you know, Bobrovsky, I feel, has given the Panthers a chance. I just don't think they have enough goal scoring to, or even maybe enough structure within their system to beat a team like the Islanders. I think it's just the Islanders are so defensively stout that, you know, for a team like Florida that, you know, we saw how much the Penguins struggled against the Islanders last year in the playoffs. For a team like Florida who, yeah, they have talent, but is it necessarily superstar talent that can take over a game? I wouldn't say so, and maybe that's what's hurting them. It's not necessarily the goaltender, it's what's in front of them.
So I said this whenever we were talking about doing this breakdown, and I'm with Jeff here. I like I was telling Dave before the show is, you know, I'm in a rut here with cable up in Greensburg. We don't have it, so I've been relying on a stream. So I've really only seen the Penguin games and the highlights, you know, over the last few days. So, you know, what I'm saying might not make the most sense or you can disagree with. But, yeah, I have literally not seen anything from the Panthers and Islanders. I don't care to. That said, I think that Florida was kind of in a weird spot heading into the world shutting down and going to hell. I think that, you know, they traded Trocheck, which is one of their firepower guys that could score, because I think that they were going to do like almost like a soft rebuild on the fly, or at least try to, like, you know, get some other pieces in there that could help them down the stretch. And then lo and behold, they find themselves in this play-in situation where, in reality, I don't think they would have made the playoffs this year, and it would have been something more towards next season. And that just said, I go with Dave here. I think they're going to get swept.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with you on that. That, and apparently Jordan Eberle only plays well in like the first round of the playoffs too. So.
Yeah. All right. So we agree. I mean, we might be wrong here, but I can expect a sweep here as well. So let's move on over to another series. I just had the stats up for that game. This one surprised me in game one, maybe because of the injuries that occurred during the game, especially early. Jets and Flames. The Flames get a commanding 4-1 win in the first game of the set, but the Jets claw their way back without Laine, and I always mess up the name. Shifley?
Yeah. Nice one, Dave.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Without those two, and they still edge out the win 3-2 against the Flames. I mean, I was shocked by the score of that first game, 4-1, especially with Hellebuck back there. But the Jets are coming back. Without those two, they might be able to scrap together a nasty 5-game set and win this one 3-2.
Yeah, I mean, when Shifley went down, I think, was Winnipeg not up 1-0 in that game one too?
I thought it was still 0-0.
Was it still 0-0?
Yeah, I thought it was 0-0 because it was so early.
It was really early.
But they took a 1-0 lead, right? I'm not making that up.
Yeah, they did go up. I remember them. They went up in the game.
So I think game one, I'll give Calgary because, I mean, they're in a funny spot because this core group for Calgary, we talked on previous shows, like, this might be their last hurrah as a group until they get, you know, started getting broken up a little bit. And for them to come back after being down 1-0, which I think was pretty early, and then to come back and rattle off 4 straight and win 4-1 and hold that lead that they built, that's pretty big on them. However, game two, it's kind of disappointing that, you know, Winnipeg was up 2-0, right? I'm trying to get my timelines together here.
I might be able to find that out while you still banter.
But again, like they come out and they don't build off that game one win, where they have the Jets' two best players are sitting in the press box. One's probably not coming back for the whole playoffs. The other one is one of their best goal scorers, and you don't capitalize that and you lose game two. Now you're back in a series. So, like, I still like the pick of Winnipeg here. I just don't trust Calgary with how it seems like they just struggle to seize opportunities.
I agree with that. And to go off you looking it up, yes, Winnipeg was up 2-0 in that game.
Okay, so yeah, so you build a 4-1 win, and you know the other team's captain's knocked out, and their top goal scorer's knocked out for game two, and then all of a sudden, you know, you blow game two, and now. Now you find yourself in a dogfight in a 5-game series.
So, well, speaking of which, was there any update on Shifley? I know that he was going to be reevaluated, but I haven't seen any news come out about him.
I haven't seen. I'll take a look as you guys continue.
Basically, what I'm getting from this series is that the Jets, like Jeff had mentioned, this could be their last ride, and they could be one of the dark horses to make a deep run in the West. But without those two characters, it's going to be very tough for the Jets to get even out of this first round. I still think they have the firepower over the Flames to get past them, but we'll see where Laine and Shifley are after this series.
I concur.
Okay, so when we get an update on Shifley, if we can, we'll just move on to another series. And how about, I think I wanted to, yeah, let's do this one. Rangers and Hurricanes. And guys, I just think this has been all Hurricane, and not Hurricane Isaiah, so let me tell you that. it's been all Carolina Hurricanes King Henry got the start because Igor was deemed unfit to play. But now it looks like in game three tonight, Igor, say Zach?
Shesterkin, I think.
Thank you. That's what I think it is, too. I figured it was just easier to say his first name. He's going to be getting the start in game three, but I don't think that's enough for the Rangers to get past Carolina. Just all facets of Carolina's forecheck has just been overbearing for the young Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, to go off of that, it's from what the highlights I've seen, Carolina has looked absolutely phenomenal. Apparently Lundqvist wasn't bad in game one. I didn't really get the chance to watch it, but he looked pretty bad in game two. That said, they might steal one tonight, but I think it goes four and Carolina takes the series.
Yeah, I texted our group chat on Saturday, and I was shocked that Shesterkin wasn't in. I had not heard that report prior to puck drop that he was unfit to play, and then on top of that they did not go to Gogoriev, that they went to the King. I thought that was just shocking that they went to Hank, and I think he gave them an opportunity to win. The power play failed them. We'll get into power plays failing teams later on the show, but I'm just shocked. You know, all we heard all year was that it was a three goalie race for the net, pretty much, and Gogoriev and Shesterkin were the top two, and then they go to the third ranked goalie in most people's eyes to start game one of your playoffs. Essentially, I it blew my mind that he was in net for game one. Gave them a chance. I get why they went to game two, but like you said, Zach, it's I think the road is done for Henrik Lundqvist in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny how that situation kind of played out. I remember you guys texting Saturday about Hank getting the start. And I remember having flashbacks of Jeff Zadkoff being Mr. Game One for the Penguins, just because obviously like the injury announced was so late. Actually, I think it happened during warmups, and it was like, oh shit. Like, you know, I've obviously hit the big red panic button, like, and, you know, just to see that happen, and it's the polar opposite of what you expect, just happened so quickly. I was like, oh, wow. And that's kind of what it felt like.
Yeah, I mean, King Henry, like you guys had mentioned, played well, faced 37 shots, let three in. But the last one, I mean, you still face a decent amount of shots at 34, but when you give up four, it's that much tougher for your team to come back from that, especially with how young everyone is on the ice that's not named King Henry, to be able to try to battle on the ice like they are against this, I'd say, fast Carolina Hurricanes team. And just, they're fast and in your face, is what I've seen from this series. And they might be able to carry that into the playoffs, into a deep run again like they did last year. But we'll see who they play next round, because I'm already chalking them up for a win this series and a sweep. I don't think Igor matters with the way that the Hurricanes are playing.
Is he playing tonight? Game three?
Yes, he's been deemed. He's starting. He's been wrote in as the starter.
Okay, all right. I don't know. I think the Rangers still need a lot from Panarin and Zibanejad for them to get back in the series. And game one, I mean, Panarin looked like garbage. I mean, I don't think he got into a tough area the whole game. So, I mean, unless they put out some monster performances, I don't see them coming back.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I don't think switching the goalie means anything. It's all in front with what the Rangers are putting out there that's going to have to make the difference. All right, so I think that's everyone beside the Canadiens and Penguins have played on the first day. So we can move on to the second day, where we had the Coyotes steal game one from the Predators, 4-3. And then I think earlier today, the Predators had a 4-0 lead going into the second. Coyotes come up short in the third, put up two. They lose 4-2. We're tied up in that series 1-1. I still think the Coyotes can steal this. For some reason, the Predators just seem like a team that will fall apart during these next two, possibly three games. I don't know what it is. I think it's just how they've played all year. It's just more of a feeling than it is actual logic for me.
I'm never confident in Nashville. Like, they're always a team that competes throughout the regular season, but when it comes time to actually go out there and do something, and yeah, you can say the 2017 they made the conference or the cup finals, but that's just like, I don't know. For me, it's just hard to have faith in Nashville. And, you know, they pride themselves on their atmosphere at their stadium, and being on a neutral site, I think definitely hurts the things that they think they can bring. But I'm just not sold on the team in general. And actually, the way Arizona plays, and just I just love Kessel and Hall. So I think the Coyotes take this series.
Does it surprise either one of you that Pecorine is sitting on the bench?
No, that's actually another thing. Yeah, he just doesn't. He hasn't really been. Dare I say the words good in at least a couple years? Honestly, probably since the Penguins series.
I never even considered him like that great when like the Penguins played him. Like they hyped him up so much in that final. I mean, yeah, I think he's got a Vezina, right?
Yeah, I believe
he does.
Even then, like, I wasn't like, oh, shit, the Penguins have to try and beat Pecorine 4 out of 7 times. Like, I'm like, let's go. You know, this guy stinks. Well, no, okay, he doesn't stink. But, like, it's not like we're facing Carey Price. Like, I'm more scared of Carey Price now than I was Pecorine in the cup final.
Mm-hmm. 2017-18 Vezina winner.
Okay, so the year after he got it.
Yeah, so he deemed the best goalie in the league.
After the Canadian media had a love fest with Nashville, he won the Vezina. Shocker.
Jeff, you sound a little hurt there.
Oh, it's just the media being the media.
A fake news media.
But are we all in agreement here? The Coyotes are probably going to win the series?
Think so. I think it's going 5, though.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, too. I can absolutely see it going 5, but if Nashville wins, I'd be stunned.
But I think Arizona needs their guns to get going, though. I don't think that, you know, they can just say, like, oh, well, you know, we'll just grit our way through a couple wins. They need Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel to be Taylor Hall and Phil Kessel and score some goals.
Did you happen to see, speaking of goals, the first one, the series opener, that like ricocheted off his shoulder and Staros had absolutely no idea what the hell had happened?
Like, I did see that, yeah.
It was absolutely incredible. I think Ekman Larson took the shot from the point and it like looked like it was going wide or whatnot. And then it just deflected off his shoulder and went up over Staros and into the net. It was literally something from like NHL video games. It was absolutely insane, but I just was curious if you guys saw that because I still don't understand what the hell happened.
Something to make you throw a controller.
Oh, I would have disconnected. Like, see ya.
All right, let's go into a series that made me very mad because of the first game, and I think their second game is tonight. The Minnesota Wild not only winning the first game, but shutting out the Vancouver Canucks 3-0. In that first game, Jeff, I told Zach before the show, and I'll say it live on the air. The Canucks ruined my parlay that night. I had the Avalanche coming back, going into the third period to win that game. I had, who else was it? I had the Blue Jackets winning the game against the Maple Leafs before they started. All the Canucks had to do was win on their end, and they get zeroed out in that game. They get shut down. Nothing for them. I'm just as surprised as anyone else that Minnesota not only won that game, but shut out the Canucks the first game. What are your thoughts?
Is it not interesting that, like, in all the game ones, all, like, the defensive-minded, like, underdogs did very well? Because, like, I did not expect that from, like, mostly any of the series, but, you know, the Penguins one really stood out to me, and this one stood out to me. With all the firepower that the Canucks have with Brock Besser, Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, the list goes on and on, and they weren't able to muster anything. The same thing happened with, like, the Penguins. Like, it seemed like they were just into a mental trap almost against teams that are less superior but play a stout defensive style and are able to block shots. It was just a really weird set of game ones that we saw with teams that were heavily favored against teams that were massive underdogs, and the underdogs came out pretty much every time in game one.
Yeah, that's a good point, because to be honest with you, I think when we did our previews last week, I completely wrote Minnesota off. And here's the thing, even if they would have lost the game, I mean, that's, you know, it's cool. It's game one. It's your first actual real game, not counting the exhibition that teams played in what seems like forever. But that said, to get shut out was absolutely, or to shut out Vancouver is absolutely incredible. Like, I did not expect that.
Yeah, I mean, I was completely taken away from that. I think the Canucks have to be able not only to win this game, but they got to get on the board first, because once Vancouver gets that first goal against Minnesota, and I just want to pull this up again. Oh man, I had it there. The goalie, Alex Stalock. I have never even heard of him.
I've ran into him on NHL a couple times when you get into like the seventh year of your franchise, and he's done like the exact same thing to me. So
he used to back up in San Jose behind Martin Jones, I think, right? I honestly couldn't have told you where he went after that, or if this was his next spot or what, anything like that. But that's, yeah.
Yeah, never even heard of the guy, and he shuts me out from my parlay victory. So I hate him, and go Canucks.
That's definitely the way to do it. I agree.
Did we hit any? Oh, there's one more series that we got to hit over before Penguins and Canadiens, and that's the Blue Jackets and the Maple Leafs. And this game is actually game two is going on right now, but game one, the Blue Jackets shut out the Hub City hosting team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, 2-0. And right now, at the end of the second, the Maple Leafs have a 1-0 lead against Columbus. So Toronto trying to hold on after getting shut out the first game. I'm not surprised with the Blue Jackets taking away game one. I'm probably more surprised that it was a shutout. But that's kind of what Torts does. He plays like he gets these guys to play like a very in-your-face game. And it's going to be a scrap, but it's going to be whoever can score first. And then from there, you just kind of hold on to the lead.
Yeah, until the Leafs beat a team that plays a rough physical style like the Bruins and the Blue Jackets, I'll bet against the Leafs, because until they win a series where they get beat up the way that they do against Boston in the past, I have no reason to have faith that this team's going to win this series.
I think I picked Toronto, but you know, some of the highlights and what I've seen from the Blue Jackets, they definitely look like they have a chance in this series. And you know, I don't want to reverse my pick just yet. I still think Toronto will have it, even if it goes five. But I definitely root against Toronto for sure.
I can see Zach with the Blue Jackets having a 2-1 series lead, and with a minute left, have a goal on top of the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs pull their goalie, and Zach says, "I'm going to switch my pick to the Blue Jackets to win this series."
Hey,
how are you? All right, I still think the Blue Jackets have it. I think it'll still go four games. I might have said five. I can't remember. But guys, let's just get into it right now. Penguins and Canadiens.
Wait, you're forgetting the Cap series.
I wasn't really going to hit on the round robin. It's just way too much, I think, to get into.
Okay.
They don't care. We don't care.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody cares about those.
Yeah, exactly. They're seeding these top four teams, which I just think is hilarious because of the Flyers stealing that first game from the Bruins. It's just going to wreck the entire top four seeds for the East, and I can't wait to see who teams are set up for in the next round. So I just want that to be a surprise for all of us. Penguins and Canadiens, guys. Basically, everyone's fears of what happened in game one came into fruition, but then game two, the Penguins were able to kind of stomp out any misery that happened on Saturday night. So whoever wants to take the lead, just go for it.
I'll take this one. Did I not call how game one was going to go? Did I not call that on this podcast? Maybe not the exact sequence in time of how said goals were going to get scored, but I called 3-2. It was going to be something dumb, and some stupid Canadian nobody's ever heard of was going to score. I called it. I called it on this podcast.
I will disagree with someone that no one has heard of, because I've known Jeff Petrie since 2015 strictly because whenever I believe he was, I don't know if he was still with the Canadiens. It might have been the Oilers. I can't remember which team.
Oilers probably.
But on NHL 2015, because my buddy would always find a way to score with him at the point. Always. And it was just frustrating.
So,
but other than that, you hit everything on the point.
Let me just justify that. The first goal of the game, Jesperi Kotkaniemi, before he scored that goal, did you know who the hell that guy was?
Oh, no, but I thought you meant the overtime winner.
No, that's why I said I called everything that happened in that game. The sequence of the events that I called may have been a little scrambled, but I called 3-2. I called the Penguins are going to lose in a stupid way, and then I also called that some no-name Canadian was going to have a goal. Also, Nick Suzuki, another one. Who the hell is that?
I will say this. Everyone, I think, on this podcast predicted that Carey Price could absolutely win the Canadiens this series. And even though the Canadiens lost last night, it honestly, with the way the Penguins came out firing again, could have probably been something realistically like 7-1, 8-1, had any other average goalie been in there. Carey Price still scares the living shit out of me.
The thing about Carey Price, though, is like game one, I didn't feel like he stole game one. I don't think the Penguins got enough traffic in front of him. It was like they were playing catch with him, for God's sakes.
When almost half of your shot attempts don't even go on net, it's going to be that much easier for a goalie to just save everything, right?
Right. I mean, that's credit to guys blocking shots, too, and shots that don't get to the net either.
How many shots got blocked that were... how many of those missed shots got blocked? Because I'd say maybe 20% of those 50-plus shots that missed the net got blocked.
I just don't have a number there for you.
Yeah.
And that's just a random number pulled from my head because I didn't think it was that many. I thought the Canadians were getting in the way of shots, but like you said, there was no traffic in front of Carey Price to kind of get into his head. There was no one there for rebounds. It was just sloppy shooting. It was just, let's get into the offensive zone and just pepper him and just see if one goes in.
But see, like, I feel like, and maybe this is just, and I don't mean to hate Matt Murray because he played a lot better last night. Just the timely saves Price was making. I think the Penguins were out shooting the Habs 11-1 at one point during game one. And just like, yeah, they weren't your high leverage scoring chance situations. And a lot of them were out deep hoping for redirects, a screen, etc. But just being in the right position and just being positionally sound to make those saves and just kind of knowing who you have back in net there, it's got to be such a big confidence booster for the Canadians. And like I said, Matt Murray played a lot better last night, I felt. But, you know, when you have Nick Suzuki coming down, Ichiro Suzuki, whatever his name is, coming down the left-hand wing, when he had made it 2-0, I believe, it was like, you saw the shot. You knew where he was going. Like, Matt Murray's glove hand has continued to be an issue since they won the Cup in 2017 is when it's been exploited. But that said, I mean...
He's allowed to make a save there, though, right? Like, yeah, I've heard is that, you know, oh, that's a really good shot. That's a dart by Suzuki. That's true. It's a nice shot. But Matt Murray's allowed to make a big save every once in a while.
Yes.
Right. And that's your last seven playoff starts.
Yeah, and that was another thing I was going to bring up. And yes, 100% true. You can have a good shot, an amazing shot, actually, but you can also make a great save. And the thing is, I feel like Matt Murray... he just doesn't give me the confidence on some of those things. A guy coming on the wing just with ample time to pick a corner because a guy like Chris Letang put himself out of position or Brian Dumoulin's missed has to back check even harder. It's one of those things that just kind of scares me. And, you saw it there. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not going to fault the first goal that Kotkaniemi scored. I mean, that was just a weird goal. And the Jeff Petrie goal, he was screened in front. I mean,
can we talk about how Jack Johnson ran into his own teammate on that first goal?
Yeah, it was a clusterfuck on the first goal, and then Justin Schultz and Jack Johnson were getting it on behind the net and in overtime,
not to cut you off, Zach, but, I mean, if you break down the tape there, that's all on the forwards there on that back check, though. Yeah, it looks bad with two defensemen behind the goal line. But if you watch that whole play back and you actually break it down, that's all on the forwards.
I mean, I'm obviously not going to absolve them by any means. It's just when you freeze that moment right there, it was right. Just,
it looks bad.
But overall, I mean, honestly, I think the Penguins answered. They did what they had to do. I definitely feel a lot better having watched their performance last night. And I got to imagine the team with the Penguins firepower just continues to wear down this Canadiens team. But the X factor is Carey Price. I mean, I think he legit has the ability to steal a game, whereas I don't think Matt Murray can steal a game for the Penguins.
Can we at least agree that Matt Murray was not the reason they lost game one? Because that, if there's one thing that actually made me mad the day after, was listening to everyone at softball talk about how Matt Murray needs to be pulled from the net. And I just couldn't disagree harder with those people. The only goal that he really should have saved was that Suzuki shot. Other than that, there's two other chances that just went in that weren't really his fault, and the Penguins had ample opportunities over that, and they just couldn't take the lead over top. So
to sum up game one for me for Matt Murray was, he didn't give Mike Sullivan a reason to put Tristan Jarry in, but he also didn't give me a reason to have full confidence in him going into game two.
That's fair.
Exactly. He didn't lose his spot in the net by any means.
Right.
And to be fair, aside from the Suzuki goal, and I know when there's only three goals, that's a big aside, he made the saves he needed to make, I thought.
Yeah.
But
still, talking about the saves that he made in game two, like the tipping goal right in front of him.
I was talking about game one.
I know.
But I was going to say, let's try to give the man some praise here after game two.
Yeah, absolutely. If we're going to segue into game two, I mean, he answered the bell. And I mean, I have some pretty good confidence in Matt Murray to do that again for game three. After the way he played in game two.
Exactly what Jeff said. I said literally to start off, Matt Murray played much better in game two than game one. So believe me, game one and game two, it was almost like watching a different goalie. He made some very clutch and very timely saves where I thought for sure Montreal was either going to get on the board first and or take the lead. Yeah, I was very impressed with his game in game two.
There's only really one other player that I would like to talk about. Evgeny Malkin seems to be there for right moments, but he's not playing as well as I think he should be. He's putting the puck on net. He got robbed in the first game twice, especially off that rebound on two consecutive shots within 3 seconds. Other than whenever he's shooting the puck on net, I don't really see his presence there on the ice.
I don't know. The only thing that I would question you on that, though, is that because Jason Zucker's on his line and Zucker kind of drives that line to get pucks for Gino?
Maybe.
Like that, because like, it's hard for me to criticize a guy that has 14 shots in two games.
Exactly. Like, I'm not saying that he's playing poorly, but I think if there's one reason that the Penguins are going to take this, no matter how well Carey Price plays, if Gino can get any one of those shots to fall in. Because as much as we are talking about how great Carey Price is, Gino also needs to play like Gino has his entire career and bury one wicked goal in this series.
He's got to produce.
Yeah.
So to go off of kind of what both of you guys are saying is I think that just because he hasn't really been there on the score sheet, I've noticed him on the power play cranking shots, and you know, I've noticed him at least putting shots on the net. You kind of see, at least I've noticed, when Malkin seems to be off, he seems to defer a lot more with his passing and you know, just tries to throw it into empty spaces. And I think he's done far less of that. And like I said, I've at least noticed him trying to rip some shots. Obviously, the power play couldn't buy a goal, and that's a whole nother subject. But, you know, for as unnoticeable as he's been on the score sheet, I definitely notice him at least taking some shots out there, which, you know, just takes one. But it is Carey Price.
I don't hate him on that left wall, though. On the power play, if we're going to segue into the power play, where they started moving him over and kind of, I don't know if you guys watched in detail with the Blackhawks, but the Hawks do kind of the same thing with Patrick Kane, where like he's kind of constantly moving and looping around like between the top of the circle and the blue line, and they kind of snap that pass through the box to get him over in motion, and then he gets that shot off. So you're not getting the one-timer, but you're constantly moving and trying to get him to find a soft area to get a shot off. And I noticed they were doing that in game two. And it was that first power play, I think, that was really good for the Penguins. And I like that look a lot.
Yeah, I kind of like when he's roaming around the ice, and it gives the defending team like more to have to be more accountable, because he's always kind of roaming around, if that makes sense. And also, I don't know, Jeff, if you feel the same way, but the defense on the power play absolutely infuriates me. Like, I feel like they have the mindset that they've been burned so many times shorthanded before that they don't want to take any risk to try to keep the puck in or even pinch in the slightest. I mean, I get there's a lot of times you want to be conservative, but I've noticed that on like a 5-on-3, it's like you have the man advantage. You are up two guys right now for ample time. Like, you're able to take a risk, and it absolutely infuriates me.
Yeah, I think it was Josh Yeovi that mentioned something like that on Twitter, that like the Penguins are the only team in the league that like their D are at the top of the blue line on a 5-on-3. And like if you watch any other teams, they like pack it in on teams where their triangle is literally touching everybody on a 5-on-3, and the Penguins are so spread out. I think at this point I just want some kind of consistency on who's going to be out there on the power play. I feel like I've seen 14 different power plays in the last two games.
I know this might be a way too early to ask this question, but do you see Mark Recchi coming back next year, being that the power play is kind of his thing and it has been absolutely atrocious?
I don't know. The only thing that I think that they would maybe give him is that the personnel quite isn't there to not have that right-handed shot. But, I mean, they have Brian Rust, and I don't know. I just never know with, like, assistant coaches and stuff. Like, you don't know what that relationship is with Sullivan or with, like, the front office or whatever. So that's where assistant coaches are a little weird for me. I will say, though, going into game two, and this is a crazy drift-off world, had the Penguins gotten swept in the series, do you think Mike Sullivan's job would have been up for grabs?
There's a chance. Yeah.
No chance?
No, there is a chance, but I don't know how likely it would have been.
I think if it would have been being swept, if somehow the Penguins and Canadians would have met in the first round in a normal playoff circumstance, I could see it for sure. I think that this year, just because everything's so backwards, and I just don't know how you gauge it, just because of the preparedness and everything. Like, yeah, the team on paper should absolutely not have lost, and it would be another one of those Pittsburgh loses to an inferior team kind of thing. But I don't know. I don't think he would have been fired had they gotten swept. But I definitely think that the leash would have been very, very short going into next year, because at what point do you not feel like it was the last 2 years combined, just a new year, new me kind of thing, where they just get absolutely blown away again. And especially like you had mentioned earlier, they had lost 7 straight going into game one. Like, that's inexcusable for a team that won back-to-back Stanley Cups not too long ago.
Yeah, that came across my mind, and I was like, I mean, we've seen how quickly coaches can be sent home for far less, not to mention after winning back-to-back cups. But I was just curious, especially with the whole power play thing going on right now too, just wanted to see what you guys thought.
There's a chance that, you know, I still think the Penguins are getting out of this round and going to move on. If they have a chance to have this power play click, and then this team's going to be really dangerous coming down the stretch. So is it going to happen? Maybe not soon, but they get enough games under their belt, it could start clicking again.
Yeah, like I said, I think I'm just looking for consistency. I think that might be half the problem, is just get your five that you're going to put out there and let them figure it out at this point.
Yeah, that's always kind of been one of my biggest critiques with Sullivan. You know, as much as I am for mixing lines up and whatnot, he seems to do it far too early. you know, just in terms of like, you know, shuffling the deck and trying to get the right matchups and everything. And it kind of bothers me because it seems like he doesn't let the guys get enough time to gel. And I agree with the power play. That would be, I think that would be the best medicine for him, is to just keep some consistency on the lines and let them develop something instead of, you know, yeah, it sucks. They went, what was it, 1-for-7 or something the other night? And like, just let them stay out there, figure it out, instead of having to keep jumbling lines and units and whatnot.
I still think the Penguins take this in 4. I think they win the next 2. I think getting this first game under their belt is key. It's going to be up to them starting each game on the right foot, like just like Sidney Crosby put him in that good position last night with a goal early, and then they can just go from there and play their own game.
Speaking of game 4, that's being played on August 7th, which is Sid's birthday. Like,
yeah, the Penguins win game 4.
Like, regardless, they're going to win it like 87-0.
Yeah, I agree with everybody here, but can we just like there was people like rooting for game 4 before we even started game 1. Like, I would have been just fine with Sid having a beer on his birthday instead of playing hockey. Just saying. I mean,
you know, he will be having a beer after the series after game 4.
I don't know. He might have like a water or something. Sid doesn't have a beer guy.
Fiji water and a protein shake. He's not drinking beer right now. You kidding me?
Yeah.
But, Speaking of beer, I just finished mine.
Oh, very
nice.
Thank you. So, all right. I think that'll about do it for hockey. I mean, we have the round robin series, but we'll get into those next week whenever hopefully we have some matchups to kind of dissect in the future. For baseball, I think I'll just
A bad day yesterday.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was going to do like...
We had a bad day yesterday.
I was going to do like the big 3. So the first one being a part of the big 3, looking at batting averages across the league, you got teams like the White Sox, who, you know, your boy predicted to win the AL Central, batting at 286, leading all of the majors in batting average.
Where are they on the AL Central right now?
Oh, no, they're not in first yet, but neither are your Indians, so.
Yeah, sorry, Minnesota's there 2.5, just saying.
Okay. Yeah, but neither one of us picked them, so you just wait.
Hey, as long as you're not right, I'm happy.
Around the middle of the pack, we got the Atlanta Braves at 236. I mean, you had them start off pretty poorly against the Mets, and I think since then they've done really well. So you take away that first weekend, it looks a lot better for the Braves.
Can we just put an asterisk next to that? They face like DeGrom, Glasnow. Like, they face some tough pitching the first weekend of the season.
Not doing it, because let's just go, because your team is full of superstars. Let's get into my team now, who, you know,
your team chooses not to have superstars.
Oh, no, no.
People take pay cuts to be on the Atlanta Braves. Look at Marcelo Zuna.
It shows how they don't have anyone batting. They don't even have a 2 in front of their batting average. They are one of 4 teams. Texas Rangers at 195, Arizona Diamondbacks at 192, Cleveland Indians, Jeff, your boys to win the AL Central at 190 batting average. I mean,
hey,
I thought
as
I
bad
had
as those bats are, as bad as those bats are in the Rock and Roll City, I said that Shane Bieber was going to have a big hand in them winning that division, so he's pulling his end of the bargain.
And let's wrap it up with one of the worst hitting team in the league, the Pittsburgh Pirates with a 188 average. And like I told Zach before the show, their average went up since Friday. So it just shows you how piss poor this team has played. There was a one hitter that the Pirates lost against the Milwaukee Brewers, I believe, on Wednesday, because I think their off day was Thursday. And they had one hit that was basically a little dribbler hit by Phil Evans in the first inning that barely got into first because of a semi-bad throw, but it was off the back foot, so they gave him a hit. It reminded me of the CC Sabathia, where he should have had a no-hitter, but really they gave the Pirates a hit because of hometown scoring, and the Brewers won 20-0. Happened against the same team, except this time it was only 3-0. Brandon Woodruff, whoever the hell he is, just basically put on a show against the Pirates. I can't wait for this team to have the number one pick and ruin it. And I already have so much joy for that coming up.
Oh, that was great. So I have a question.
What is a Philip Evans, and what does it make money-wise?
What is a Philip
Evans? I hope there's a chance that he might make as much of all of us do in a year combined.
No way.
Nah, you're probably right. Probably one of us.
I was going to say, I definitely make more than Philip Evans, whatever that is.
Whatever that may be.
Whatever
so
that
is. So wait, you think he's around like 120 grand? Minor league deal? Is that what you're saying?
$7.
Well, yeah, because I'm not sure with where he would be going into this year with his contract. Like, maybe, like, I don't even know if he were to even get a bonus to start off the minor leagues, to be real. So it was just throwing out a random number. That is not an educated guess by me whatsoever.
I do want to throw one thing out there that, and I've actually watched two Pirate games purely by accident. I've actually apologized to my TV for having the game on. But there's nobody that looks like they want to be in Pittsburgh less than Jerrod Dyson. Every time I see him.
He said it before joining, as he was joining the team.
Yeah, I remember his comments being like, well, you got to go where you have to go or something like that for money-wise. But, you know, you would have thought, you know, just after the pandemic and to have a season and get some form of money to play a game that you love, that you'd be a little enthusiastic about it. But he has had the resting bitch face every time I've seen him on my screen. It has been incredible. Like,
Zumbaya. That's his nickname. Zumbaya.
So, all right. So, Dave, real quick. What's the hell's the manager's name? I've lost his name already.
The Pirates manager, Derek Shelton?
Yeah. Are you out on him yet?
I just thought he was a filler for the next 2 years. I mean, had we had a full season and the Pirates were able to show what they could do by maybe deconstructing the roster and doing a full rebuild.
Okay. That's probably okay, destructing the roster.
That's one of their strengths. Yeah.
But no, the only reason I ask this is because you guys have an Osuna yourself, right? Jose or something.
Jose Osuna with an S, not a Z.
Not the Z, right? Okay. So he's been like one of the actual like productive bats for the Pirates since
Colin Moran has been the best.
Oh, F Colin Moran, he stinks. Anyway. Oh,
okay.
But Osuna has sat like a bunch, hasn't he?
Over 50%.
So, like, what's the story there is my first question. The second question is, are they still doing the Sunday lineup? Because I'm pretty sure Josh Bell didn't play on Sunday.
I couldn't even tell you because I was too busy drinking and playing softball Sunday to watch that Pirates game. And then when I got home and saw that they were tied 1-1, I decided to fall asleep to it and woke up to them losing in the 11th inning. So it was just a blur.
I had him at a +1.5. It was great. But my question here though is that it just seems like it's still the Huntington Hurdle regime all over again though. Sunday lineups, like you've won two games all year and you're sitting Osuna and Bell. Like, what the hell are we doing here? We should be trying to get at least a win. I mean, the easiest lock of the year right now is them under 25.5 wins.
Oh, for sure.
I mean,
pulling up the average right now. I mean, Jose Osuna is batting .158, which is normal, I guess, for the Pirates. So he might actually be a superstar with a home run, 3 hits and 19 at bats. Really not much else to it. And as much as you should always play Josh Bell no matter what, he has not been the Josh Bell that we saw last year and a little bit from the year before. At one point, I thought he had an O in front of his batting average.
Are you saying he's Pedro Alvarez number two?
Nope, not at all. I mean, he's at 194.
Sounds
right now.
Awful.
Finally
similar,
has
dude.
A home run to
a number
game.
24. They patrolled first and third base in a Pirate uniform recently.
We're on this far too long.
I love talking about how terrible the Pirates are. It's so much fun.
It's an everlasting storyline.
It's a blast. Two more things. The first one, we can go over this quickly. Cardinals outbreak little COVID-19 outbreak within their clubhouse. I guess some of the guys had to go to the casino, brought it back, and now some staff members and the players and whomever else have contracted this. They're going to be gone for a little bit. No games against Detroit and a four-game set. Is the baseball season going to finish with outbreaks like this?
First thing, before we get into this, I guarantee you Paul Goldschmidt was not part of that group that went to the casino. Guaranteed. I'll put a month's rent on that he was sitting in his room like a good boy. second of all, I don't know. Do they take the commissioner's word seriously? Because, I mean, he said, like, either tighten it up or we're done. So I guess it comes down to how much do they respect the commissioner of baseball.
I mean, we'll see. I just figured if there's one more team that has anything similar to the Cardinals or Marlins, it's got to be over.
I would think so. Three strikes, you're out. How about that for a metaphor?
Right.
And didn't they say that, like, now players aren't even allowed to leave places? Which, I mean, rightfully so, and should have been enacted a long time ago. But now they can't even leave the hotel or something like that. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the Marlins storyline, but Derek Jeter said that a couple of players were on, like, a milk run the other day. Like, bullshit, shut the hell up.
Shut up. Yeah, milk run at a strip club. Real cute, Derek.
All right. So, I think the season will finish, because I think after these two examples, it's going to be, like, pretty eye-opening that just stay in the damn hotel, hang out with your teammates, and move on. It's 2 months. That's it. And then after that, I mean, half the teams get to have a little playoff run. So we'll see how much of these teams actually take this seriously for the rest of the year. Last one, Atlanta Braves' chances of the World Series not happening anymore because Mike Soroka had an awful injury on his way to go cover first base. Jeff, your thoughts?
Calm down. Just calm down. I turned it. So I was watching the game yesterday, like, literally, like, as the Penguins are getting ready to drop the puck, the Braves are losing 4-0. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. I'm just wash it off. We'll get back at it tomorrow. We're facing DeGrom. We're not coming back. Turn the iPad off. I close it. Kind of, I didn't slam it, but, like, I gave it an extra oomph on it. And literally, like, went to go hop on Twitter. And I heard Soroka's hurt, and I go, son of a bitch. Like, this isn't good. And, like, kind of just, like, sat there, kind of, you know, kind of digested it a little bit. But Alex Anthopoulos, the Braves GM, for those who don't know.
Thank you.
He will make a blockbuster. Believe me. He will make a blockbuster. He did it in Toronto when he got David Price for their playoff run. He will make a blockbuster deal to get us another pitcher because we're not going to rely on our young arms. The way that teams have managed young arms this year, they are so protected right now, it's not even funny. So he's going to go out and make a deal before August 31st. I promise you that. The World Series is not over. It's just going to be a little bit tougher than what we expected it to be. So we'll be all right. Everybody take a deep breath. Let's get through this week. Soroka spot in the rotation doesn't come up till Saturday. We'll figure it out there. It'll be okay. Maybe, don't you worry. We can still chop in Atlanta. It'll be all right. And don't forget, we still have Acuna, Albies, Freeman. Dansby Swanson's hitting like a beast. Oh, yeah. Marcell Ozuna, who was my comeback player of the year, might win it this year because he's having a great year hitting behind Freddie Freeman. I mean, it's not over, Dave. We can still chop in Atlanta.
It was your prediction last year.
Yeah, but he might win it again this year.
I mean, again, he didn't win it last year.
Well, he won it in my book.
Oh, and, you know, the Pirates are winning the World Series in my book, too.
Well, they're not. Everybody just knows they're not going to do that.
That's fair. Hey, maybe
you have to bat over the Mendoza line in order to win the World Series.
That's very true. You can throw out the Rangers, Indians, and Pirates then.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll do that.
All right, let's wrap it up here.
The MVP. Indians can still win the division, too, by the way, if they hit under the Mendoza line. Just can't win the World Series.
No. MVPs of the week. Let's wrap it up here. We've been at it for a while. I'm just going to say LVP is Derek Jeter trying to defend his Marlins player for going out on a milk run. It's just
damn it,
it's
not
1930. I imagine these guys going out, if they were actually doing this, and getting glass bottles, like wearing fedoras and suits, and just like... and just ending on all those sentences and meh, meh, while just clanking the bottles and drinking. Like, come on, Peter, you're better than this. This is, you never went on a milk run in your 20 years of playing in New York. Why the hell do you think your Miami Marlins are doing the same thing?
Well, because they stink and Derek Jeter was successful in New York. Difference.
Zach, what do you got?
You know, honestly, I'm going to give mine to the entire NHL league. Just, I think they said they conducted 7,500 COVID tests and had no positives. Like, that is absolutely incredible to me. And the fact that they were the most, and still are the most, efficient sport at getting back up and running, it almost makes baseball look like a laughingstock. And you know, I'm just pleased to have them back and just everything that's gone on in the bubble. It's, every game's been exciting to some extent, aside from the Islanders and Panthers. But yeah, just glad hockey's back, and they definitely handled it the right way, unlike the St. Louis Cardinals and Miami Marlins.
Is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. So at the beginning of this whole COVID thing and everything, we did the video game thing, right? We were doing updates and everything. We kind of got away with it, and we kind of quit updating and everything. Well, I got an update. This is going to be fun. So our batter, who he's kind of the only one that I've been really been playing because I got bored last week. He left the Pirates, right? I'll give you kind of like the fast forward version. Got traded out of Pittsburgh, went to San Francisco, didn't like it there. Halfway through the season, got traded to St. Louis. Was in St. Louis for about 4 years. Nothing really happened. Missed the playoffs a couple times, started to get better and better, and then hits free agency, and the Yankees picked me up and had a great run with the Yankees, ended up winning the AL MVP and the Hank Aaron Award, like all the batting awards pretty much he wins. Hits free agency, decides to take a pay cut to Atlanta, and signs a massive, like, 12-year, 23.1, I think, million-dollar contract. Gave the Braves a club deal because, you know, hometown team, going to cut them a deal. And so make a run, hitting in front of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., which is what brought me to Atlanta. And so we go through the year, make the wild card game, won the wild card game. Win the division series over the Mets. Guess who we run into in the NLCS, Dave?
Mitch Keller.
Yeah, you're dead right. We run into Mitch Keller and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And by the way, my dude rakes against the team that drafted him. He crushes the ball because he was so terribly treated in the Pirates organization. He's taking it back out on them. We took it five straight where the World Series were playing tonight for the World Series.
I'm surprised I actually got that right, Mitch Keller.
Yeah, that was good, Dave.
Some stuff definitely happened the last time we did a video update or a video game update.
That was some stuff.
It was a lot. I probably wouldn't have said anything about it had I not played the Pirates in the NLCS, but I figured it was warranted for the storylines and how it all came full swing and, you know, where making a lot of money, winning a lot of awards, and our guy's doing pretty well.
What year is it in that league?
2029?
I'm looking forward to the next 10 years.
Well, I'm more or less impressed with the fact that the Pirates paid Mitch Keller to stay through 2029, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. I mean, they built a team through prospects, but they'll probably be all gone next year. So
with a deal that Jeff signed with the Braves, the Pirates could easily win with players like Jeff signing deals like that.
Well, at least the Braves have won a game before.
Yeah, the Atlanta Braves definitely got a team-friendly deal for me because I think when I hit free agency, like if you don't sign with somebody going into spring training, like you have to try out for them or whatever – the Yankees gave me a max deal, which was $31 million for 2 years, and I got them to give me a player option on it so that if I wanted to, I could, like, really cash out if I had a big year, which I won, again, AL MVP, all, like, the batting awards. And I opted out of it just to take a pay cut to go to Atlanta. Like, it's, like, the most, like, absurd like way to handle free agency of all time.
Wow, that's pretty. That's wow.
Hey, man. I mean, Jordan Staal wanted out of Pittsburgh just to go play with his brother Eric, and then Eric ended up leaving. So it's kind of similar, is it not?
It's definitely one
until somebody leaves you.
Yeah, Vlad Guerrero leaves. I'm just hammering the I want out of Atlanta.
This place sucks.
Wow. All right. You've been listening to the Icy Takes podcast. I mean, hopefully you've made it to this point, because I'm surprised I made it to this point with these two as well.
Yes.
You can like us on Facebook, Icy Takes with Zach, Jeff, and Big Dave. Follow us on Twitter at Icy Takes, I-C-E-Y Takes, all together one word, because that's the way we like to spell it. Follow us on the personal Twitters at Big_Dave52.
At ZachMorris82.
At JChrist_51.
Like our Lord and Savior, amen. We hope we didn't go too far off the rails, but if we did, we hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back next week. But until then, stay icy, people.